It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The 2013 Pittsburgh City election is now history, and while last night provided little in the way of surprises, there are still plenty of results to parse through. Coming up later, an interview with Pittsburgh Mayor-elect Bill Peduto. But joining me now in Studio A for a comprehensive look at what happened and how it impacts the future of our city and the region, our 90.5 WESA's senior news editor, Mark Neutbar.
Good
Mark,
day, sir.
Yes, good day to you. You had a long night last night anchoring our coverage. Good to see you wide-eyed and bushy-tailed this
glad
today.
Glad to be here. A little bit of coffee helps.
Yes, here at the stroke of noon. Also with us, 90.5 WESA's Director of Special Projects and Internships, Kevin Gavin. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you, Paul.
Gentlemen, we figured Bill Peduto would be holding a victory party last night, but not necessarily in Homewood. What is significant about this decision to hold the party there?
Well, Paul, one of the things that I think I would look at right away is one of the tweets that he sent out last night saying that he would help Homewood reach its full potential. I think he's really looking to move into parts of the city that maybe others have ignored, or at least he feels has been ignored. There are some family ties in there as well. But, you know, I'd like to bring Kevin in on this a little bit. I think from my memory, reaching as far back as Bob O'Connor when he was running against Tom Murphy, talking about needing to get into the neighborhoods. That has been a theme for every mayoral election since Tom Murphy left office. And I don't know if it stretches back any further than that, but I'm not sure that things change all that much.
I don't think things have changed, Mark. And yes, the talk about neighborhoods. Bob O'Connor was known as the neighborhood guy. And as far as the specific location, Paul, Homewood, yes, and I think it's also to bring some attention to Homewood having one of the highest, if not highest, percentages of abandoned buildings, abandoned homes. So this can be sort of his maybe starting point for where he wants to redevelop or help redevelop the city by redeveloping a key neighborhood.
Right, and Bob O'Connor's term was tragically cut short, so we'll never know if he would have realized that vision. The chances that Bill Peduto can solve some of these problems, which have apparently been insurmountable for mayors past.
Absolutely very tough. Just pointing out that one that Kevin talked about. What do you do with a blighted property? Well, if you leave it there, then it can be a magnet for crime. If you take it down, all of a sudden you have a community that loses a third of its housing stock. And how do you build from there? So it is never just a cut and dry issue. He will have 80-some neighborhoods that he's going to have to figure out a solution for each and every one of them because they all have their own special needs.
Mr. Peduto has been serving on the city council, and he has had a strained relationship with some of the members of city council. How do you see him working through those, Kevin?
Well, three of his supporters, allies if you want to call it, were elected last night to council terms. One in the special election in District 7, two others. One was reelected, Natalia Rudiak, and also
Dan Gilman.
Dan Gilman, his former chief aide in his council district. So you know he's got that backing. So the question is, how many other friends on council will he have to get through some things that might be a little controversial? Still to be seen.
Yeah, I think two of the key people that he'll have to be targeting will be Smith and O'Connor. I think those are two votes that can go either way. And if he is able to get friendly with them, and he'll perhaps be able to get a few of the pieces of legislation through with a little bit more ease.
And the other new face elected to city council is Deb Gross, who will finish out Patrick Dowd's term. What can you tell us about her, Mark?
Deb Gross, interesting story there. Her professional history is a little bit unknown. We'll call her a consultant at this point. She worked for some arts organizations. She also did some work for Bill Peduto's campaign. Now, if you remember back, the seat that she ran for is the seat that was Patrick Dowd's. He left 2 years unexpired term. That's what they were running for yesterday. When the Democrats got together to choose who would run there, only 7 votes separated Gross and Chaffee. So she picked up the endorsement. She goes on to run as a Democrat. Chaffee runs as an independent, and you see that she was able to pretty easily beat him yesterday. But she has some of her own issues that she's going to have to deal with. Does she have the full support of the party behind her?
And then the seat that Patrick Dowd has vacated, the election for the full term in that seat would come up
in 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, so right away she's going to have to be thinking about how do I put my ducks in a row? How do I get through a primary that I think it's pretty certain she will have a challenge in that primary.
Like being a member of Congress when you have a two-year term.
But she the benefit, Paul, yes, Mark is right about having to think about it, but she will have 2 years. We've seen in the past special elections for city council where council members elected to serve out a term only had a matter of months, and then they didn't win another term. So that was kind of interesting. But she will have at least those 2 years to get her act together, if you would, to build her support.
Yeah, and I think we can assume that Bill Peduto and Chelsea Wagner and Rich Fitzgerald and some of the other people that have endorsed her will continue to support her. So that will be on her side. Just to give you a number or two, because I'm a numbers guy, she did pick up 61% of the vote last night. Tony Chaffee had 25%.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're looking at the 2013 election results with senior news editor Mark Neutbar and Kevin Gavin, director of special projects and internships here at 90.5 WESA. Looking at the Pittsburgh School Board race, there will be four new members, including Sylvia Wilson, who is taking over the seat vacated by one-term board member Shireen Seeley. Wilson recently retired as assistant to the president of the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers, and she wants to see change in the district. Here's what she had to say after winning her seat on the school board.
Things are very grim, and people have thought that I was crazy for doing this, but I do believe that when you see a problem or, you know, you instead of blaming people and pointing fingers, you jump in and you help to resolve whatever problems.
And I want to refer to what Ms. Wilson said there. People thought I was crazy for doing this. There apparently is some kind of perception out there that the public schools are a lost cause. I mean, what is going on? What are some of the hurdles here that have to be overcome?
First of all, there is the state funding issue that has to be addressed. You can talk about different ways of slicing this, but the numbers from the state have not been moving in the right direction as far as the school board would like to see them. They have been moving down over the course of several years. But the state still does a fairly good job of doing some funding compared to some other states, so that's an issue. Of course, you have property taxes, which fund the school district, that you have to be keeping an eye on, and then you also have the income tax that goes to that. So there's this whole funding stream side of it. Since I have moved here 16, 17 years ago, whatever it is now, I have seen a school district that is managing decline. And that is not something that you really want to be looking at as a board member. So that's something that they're going to have to figure out. Do we close more schools? How do we make sure that this district can teach the students that it has when it has some of these legacy costs that go back decades?
Kevin, what do you make of Ms. Wilson's comments?
Well, I'm wondering if it's that, all the problems that Mark was referring to, but also I think the fact that it's also a thankless job. I mean, you're going to get criticized. People are going to complain. They show up, rightfully so, at the open school board meetings in the public comment period. I don't know that it's a win situation. So these people, I think, are really dedicated. They really do care about the education system in the city and care about the Pittsburgh public school system. So I think part of it is it a thankless job? So, but it is. They do confront those major problems that Mark ticked off right there.
Yeah, and let's lay one more layer onto this as to how complicated of a job it is. Not only do you have the members of the community that will be showing up and will be speaking their piece, but now all of a sudden there is a focus from the city council, which technically has no control over the school board operations, but every single one of the candidates is talking about what do we do with the school district? How do we enhance the school district? How do we get them to deal with some of their budget issues? So they're going to be getting it, the school board that is, their members are going to be getting it from all sides. It is a thankless job. So thank you to all of those who want to serve.
And Ms. Wilson, again, saying her priorities include the district's financial situation and attracting families and keeping more of them in the district. How much of a challenge is that, Kevin?
Well, the financial situation, I mean, every year we keep hearing when Mark has his reporters do stories on the budget of the Pittsburgh School District, it's like they're always tapping reserves. So those reserves are almost gone to balance the budget. Obviously, they do not want to raise taxes, because that's never very popular. So where do you find the money to do it? Well, do you close more schools? The problem is the ones they closed, how many of them they actually sold to get some cash to be invested back into the district? So that is one big issue that they've got to deal with. And Mark alluded to the managing the decline. It's right around 24,000-25,000 students. You know, 10 years ago, it was well over 30,000-35,000 students. So I think they're just trying to hold it steady. As far as attracting new students, well, the Pittsburgh Promise was hoped to do some of that, to bring other families, new families, families with kids into the school district to build up the numbers and enrollment.
Is it doing that? Do we know?
Mark,
there's a real debate over that, yeah, whether it's working or not.
Or did it slow the decline, Mark?
Right. There's no way to really get some hard numbers on that, because you're talking about population numbers for southwestern Pennsylvania. They have been on the decline. It seems that they hit the nadir, and they're starting to come back up. But you still anecdotally hear stories of young couples living in the city. They have a child, live here until that child is of school age, go out to the suburbs. And then we also hear stories of retired couples that move back in, or older couples that move back in after their children go off to college. So it's a tough situation. I don't know that there has been a solution yet. And maybe the best solution is more of a Dan Gilman thing. You have to have a good city to have a good school district, and you have to have a good school district to have a good city. That's one of the things that he said last night in his victory speech.
Moving on to other issues in Pittsburgh that were addressed on the ballot. Yesterday, there was the referendum on keeping the requirement that city employees live within the Pittsburgh city limits. That passed by a significant margin. I believe it was 4-1.
80% to 20%.
Wait, well, there you go. It's certainly a statement by people in Pittsburgh that they want their city employees to live within the city limits. Kevin, your thoughts about this? There seems to be a real strong mindset here.
Well, the thought is that, how important is this vote? Is this vote going to actually carry any weight in common police court? Because this issue is going to end up in common police court. And so in talking with Councilman Burgess, who was the motivator behind this, and he even admitted it's a way for the people to have their voice in the court, and he hopes that any judge that hears this case, whether this is legal or not, will take that into consideration, quote, the voice of the people.
Well, apparently there is a provision that allows the city policemen and firemen to bargain that requirement out of their labor contract, to say if I want to live in, for example, McCandless Township, that I can and still work in the city of Pittsburgh. You know, they can make that a contractual stipulation.
This goes back to, first of all, 1901 was the first time that the city of Pittsburgh put a rule on the books that said firefighters and police officers have to live in the city. So that's been in place since 1901.
Which might have made more sense back then than it does now?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, there's arguments either way. Like you said, somebody should be able to live wherever they want and do their work. Let's find the best person to be a police officer rather than someone who lives in the city. But then there's a lot to be said about someone living in the community that they're policing. But on the other hand, why should I live in the place that I'm policing? Maybe there's a safety issue. Then there's the tax issue. But going back to 1901, they put that into place. Now, due to some lobbying and some of this and some of that in Harrisburg a couple of months ago, they passed a piece of legislation that says in the city of Pittsburgh, it singles out the city of Pittsburgh, it singles out firefighters and police officers, they no longer have to live in the city. That piece of legislation then prompts the Pittsburgh Police Department to file suit, as you mentioned, to try to be released from having to live in the city. That is before an arbitration panel. A ruling is expected really any day now. We should be hearing from that. But this will definitely go on into the courts further and further.
And if that exception is allowed for police and firemen, can that then be used by all city employees to say, well, you know, here's a precedent. You're allowing, you know, here's a way in which the city and the city fire and the city police officers are able to get around this. then why shouldn't we?
Yeah, the biggest reason why they would not be able to say that is because this legislation that I mentioned only talks to the Pittsburgh firefighters and the Pittsburgh police. Nothing to say that the Pennsylvania legislature couldn't pass another piece of legislation just to bigfoot the city of Pittsburgh.
Exactly. Last but not least, let's talk about the statewide judges' races. Actually, a couple more things I wanted to get to, county council and the judges, but some interesting developments in the statewide judges' races.
Yeah, let's first of all talk about the judge for the Superior Court. We had two candidates that were running for one open seat there. We had Vic Stabile. He was the Republican. He picked up 52% of the vote, so he'll move on into that seat. It was an interesting number set to watch as it came in. At first, Jack McVeigh was ahead. The interesting thing is we, the people of Pennsylvania, elected somebody that the Pennsylvania Bar Association had given a, quote, stern reprimand to for his, quote, misleading ads. So here we are going against the recommendation of probably the most authoritative, most knowledgeable organization on this subject. And it really does bring up that argument that we've been having for the last several years. Is merit selection better than having an election for these types of judges?
And do voters pay attention
to recommendations
or not exactly a recommendation for judicial candidates?
That's a great point, Kevin.
And if I could say just really quickly, we had a justice of the Supreme Court, two candidates that were held for retention there. Max Baer received his retention vote, along with Ronald Castile. Now, the interesting thing about him, he is 69 years old. This is a 10-year term that he was just re-upped for. He can only serve 1 year, less than 1 year of it, because he will turn 70 next year, and we have a mandatory retirement age for Pennsylvania judges of 70, and that is also going to be something that you'll probably see legislation or at least some court debate about.
And then how do they decide who fills out the last 9 years of the term?
That would be then a special election that would put a new person in there.
Very quickly, county council, two new members.
Yeah, two new members there. The first one is the replacement for the Mad Droz district, which is District 1. Tom Baker picks up that one. And then we have Ed Kress, which goes into District Council 3. He is a Republican. Tom Baker is a Republican. The third district used to be a Democrat district, and now it'll be Republican. So that means it is 5 Republicans to 10 Democrats on the seat. One other new member, Sue Means, also picked up the Council District 5 seat. That was a special election there.
That's 90.5 WESA Senior News Editor Mark Neutbar, who anchored our election coverage last night. Also joining us, Kevin Gavin, Special Projects Director and Director of Interns at WESA. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here in Studio A.
Thanks, you. Paul.
Coming up, we look ahead to the 2014 governor's race with John Baer of the Philadelphia Daily News. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.